joined now by the Northfield Area Fire Chief, the Northfield Area Fire and Rescue Service Man of the Hour, Mr. Chief Tom Nelson. How you doing?
Doing well. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
It was a while ago, but I was driving in and I heard Delamitri, Stone Cold Sober, and you're going to be, that was kind of a teaser for an upcoming thing you're doing. And it's such an 80s, 90s song.
It's a great song.
And the sun was coming up and I'm driving in and I thought about, and you're going to say, oh my gosh, this is the worst song, is Starship. We built this city.
And it is just, it's just a terrible song.
Oh, yeah.
It's
no,
a terrible
but it was
song.
Such an era back then. Everything was campy.
Yeah, well, things were interesting back
yes.
then. I kind of like that song, but I was only 17. I didn't know any better.
Right. It's when you're musically immature.
Right.
It's like, this is the best song ever.
Yeah.
So, one little teaser that I'd like to throw out to
yes,
you folks
sir.
Before we dig into, as Bob Swanson, when I was in Northfield Boys Chorus, he would say, first we have to work on the meat and potatoes music,
yep.
and then we work on the dessert. So first we have to do the stuff that's on our little agenda. But one thing I'd like you to think about is, okay, let's say we're all in the same vehicle and we're going down Highway 3. We just go past Woodley and the Alina Clinic. And Bierman's is on the right, and we're going down, and an emergency vehicle pulls up. We're in the left lane, and the emergency vehicle pulls up. You know, we can see it coming. What should we do?
We're in the left lane.
Yes, don't throw it out. We'll talk about it, but let listeners think about it, because different things happen, and we'll talk about that, what I see and what our responders see. And we'll talk a little bit about what you should do when an emergency vehicle comes upon you, as well as what you should do if you have a crash and you are, you know, in the middle of the roadway. So we'll talk about that.
All right.
Sounds good.
You actually laid out an agenda.
I did. I didn't have today. Much luck with Jeff Johnson with that. I'd throw out, here's some talking points, and I'd get here, and, hey, did you see that stuff I sent you? Oh, what stuff did you send? And Rich would just kind of put his head in his hands and print it out. So.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so, yeah, it's good for me to be able to say what are some things that we should maybe talk about.
I saw this this agenda at 4:15 this morning. So, the first thing you want to talk about is there was a joint powers board last Thursday, and it looks like there was some activity at that meeting.
Yeah, and again, this is the second meeting of the new joint powers board, or, you know, the 2025 joint powers board, with some new additions. As I said, Jamie Reister, who was the council appointee, mm-hmm. She left at the end of 24, and Peter Dahlin is the councilor who has been appointed by the mayor to fill that position.
Mm-hmm.
And Arlen Malika, who we all know,
yeah.
is one of the City of Northfield community appointees, and he replaced Elizabeth Hassa, who had been the community appointee from Northfield for the past 6 years. So it's a good board, strong board, and again, it's nice to be able to have come to a meeting and everyone's thinking about what's best for Northfield Area Fire Rescue.
Sure.
And just a reminder, Northfield Area Fire Rescue is made up of the City of Northfield, City of Dundas, and the Rural Fire Protection District, which is the townships all around us.
Mm-hmm.
So
seven townships?
With slivers, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
All right. So you guys were talking about the preliminary budget for 2026. It's just I always feel bad for the people in the townships, because they've got to set their budget for next year right about now.
Yeah, they have their annual meetings.
Yeah.
Usually they're all upcoming in March.
Yeah. I think the township day this year is the 11th, I want to say.
That sounds right.
And there's going to be elections, and then
they all get together.
And then they get together that night, and they set their levies.
Right.
And you guys have to, therefore, need to start at least talking about the budget so the townships have an idea.
Right. I mean, the way that we've worked before is our budget, the NAFRS budget, didn't have to be officially finalized until September. And, you know, not only are the townships then, you know, if something happens that they're not expecting, they've already set their levies. And so there's really nothing that they can do unless they're going to dip into reserves or something. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that they've really requested is just give us a shot.
Yeah.
So I try to get that done. And, you know, what's interesting is we just closed 2024, right? So we're on the calendar fiscal year. So we closed. And so quick do, how did we do? The big, so for 2025 and 2026, the operational increase is, you know, under a couple percent. And the big change has always been, okay, what are we buying or paying for in capital equipment mm-hmm. that year? So what we're doing for 2026 is we're putting a request in. It's about $500,000. That's what the request was for 2025. Even though only about half of that is earmarked for one of the trucks we're going to talk about, having the other $250,000 as seed money in that capital equipment fund, my analogy is always, do you save for vacation or do you go on vacation and put it on the credit card mm-hmm. and deal with it when you get home? Mm-hmm. So really wanting to try to move toward a mixture yeah. of the budget, in the capital budget, we're always putting it in and trying to make the whole budget more linear for okay. all the parties.
Sure.
So yeah, that and that was approved, and the overall increase for 2026 is under 1%.
Oh, thank you.
So again, we're really, what's nice is getting a track record of spending rates and calls and still being able to be very progressive on some of the things that we're doing and try to keep it linear. That's really important.
Yeah, okay. You talked about apparatus contracts, which when I saw it at first, I thought that meant the like the new fire truck, but that you've got that as another bullet point down here. So what is an apparatus contract?
So we will talk about the new fire truck, but we have, remember, it takes 1 to 2 years. Mm-hmm. Big ones are 2 years before you place the order till you get it. I told Sean Simonson, it's almost like a MnDOT project. They come down and say, yeah, we're going to fix Highway 19 coming into Northfield in 2020, whatever. It's like, are you going to even work here when you're... So
right.
It's always like there must be feel like they're doing estate planning
right.
when they're doing projects like that. My legacy is going to be that bridge.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have to do those contracts early. So we have, between 2025 and 2026, we have two vehicles that, were just approved. And again, it takes us about 8 months to get to the spec and contract to mm-hmm. be ready. So it really is a capital project.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is a tender or a tanker. I was told, we've always referred to them as a tanker, meaning that's the truck that brings water out in the
mm-hmm.
country.
Mm-hmm.
Folks at DNR said, no, a tanker flies in and dumps Ooh. Water on your fire.
I see.
A tender is what brings water from town. So the Dakota County departments call them tenders. So I'm trying to say, no, it's a tender. So this tender, again, is going to be a replacement for one that the Rural Fire Protection District owns.
Okay.
It's their last piece of equipment owned solely by Rural and not by NAFRS. So when we sell that the proceeds will go back to the townships. And this one, again, will be identical. We have two. We have one that we bought a couple of years ago. This one will be its identical twin.
Okay.
And that's wonderful because then you're symmetric and you don't have to learn multiple things. So
you know, you were talking about this with the pumper truck too, but don't you ever want to get a new car with the fancy bells and whistles?
No,
and stuff?
I know. And that's what it's kind of like. So we'll talk about the new truck, but it came in and it's like, Marilyn said, is it really cool? I said, well, yeah, it's identical to the one that we have over there. And it's like, well, that's boring. Well,
yeah.
But the goal is to make it so that no matter which you jump in, it's the same. Don't move this over here and this. I mean, that's what's like if you drove a certain car for a long time and the stick shift is here. Well, whatever you call it. The buttons are here.
Yeah.
This and this and this. And now all of a sudden you have to get used to it. But now if you're switching back and forth between vehicles that are sort of close...
Mm-hmm.
It's just one more thing to have to remember. So that's always been the goal. Try to make them symmetric. So that's the first contract is for the new tender.
Right.
That will be delivered in the first part of 2026. So basically a year from now.
Okay.
We gave them a heads up. Custom Fire Apparatus in Osceola, Wisconsin, gave them the heads up. So the chassis that they build it on is already there.
Okay.
And we did that because there are some new regulations that are coming in around emissions and things that then add tens of thousands to the cost of the unit. And again, these aren't over-the-road trucks. We're not making a lot of pollution.
Right.
So we want them to work, and we want them to be reasonably priced, as now you can't really do this time, you know, in the market the way it is right now. The second one is it's the replacement for the ambulance that we sold.
Right.
So really, it's the Rescue Squad Association is funding it. It is our new light rescue initial attack pumper.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk more about that on coming shows, but that's okay. going to be a really versatile rig. Both of those contracts were approved and are going to the manufacturer. So that was a good thing to get approval at the board meeting.
I'm
going to
make sure I watch a couple of reruns of Emergency before we talk about the light rescue truck.
Oh, yeah.
Truck.
Yeah, no, because, it's going to be Roy DeSoto retro.
And Johnny.
We're building it on a 1974 Dodge chassis. Wouldn't that be great?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No emissions there.
What's the line from the... It was the model before they made catalytic converters, so it runs good on regular gas. Okay.
Fix the ashtray. Or fix the lighter.
Get the lighter work fixed, yeah. All right. Joint Powers Agreement 2.0.
Yeah, so that is one where, you know, there's been talk about the taxing district and the changing, you know, do we want to rework the organization of the Joint Powers Agreement, Northfield, Dundas, and Rural. One of the things that we decided last year is we're not going to go ahead with the taxing district right now, but there are some things about the Joint Powers Agreement that are stale.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I use the analogy of sort of like when your first will, and then like 10 years later, you kind of need to look at it again. There are just a lot of things that were in that are like the founding constitution of NAFRS, where there was no full-time chief. The board was very much a working board, and they did a lot of the work and things. And so that's all reflected in the Joint Powers Agreement. So it's like the board sets the budget. The board, well, that's my job now that I'm supposed to do. So part of it is dusting off and changing.
Sure.
And then what things do we want to change based on scenarios? And what's nice is we're in a really good place.
Mm-hmm.
There's not contention. There's not a lot going on. So let's clean it up, tighten it up to reflect the way we're operating now, but also make sure that if a member, Dundas, Northfield, and Rural are the parties.
Mm-hmm.
If one of them leaves, what do we do with the assets? So again, it's just time to dust that off. So that's going to be a project that we're going to be doing in 2025.
Okay.
That's meat and potatoes.
So that's very, but that's also super important stuff. You have to be able to evolve a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's been 11 years
we're forging into the 11th year.
Yeah. So that's, I would think every 10 years, it's a good idea to just take a look at,
at dust things. It off.
Yep. All right. You had an ISO review also.
Yes. So that one, and that'll be a good one. And we might get Brad Ness in here with us next month. ISO is Insurance Service Office, and they've renamed themselves as Verisk. They rate fire departments and water systems.
Okay.
So every fire department in the nation has a rating that is coupled with the water system in the area you serve, and that ends up reflecting on all of our fire insurance.
Okay.
So that's one of the things that we got the call saying, hey, you're due. It was 2018. So I think that might be a good for next month, as we'll get Brad and we'll talk more about the ISO review.
Yeah.
It encompasses everything from hydrant flows to apparatus to amount your training to we can now add community risk reduction, which is fire code enforcement. I knew that would happen if I didn't.
You got a little buzz. It's okay.
Yes. Yeah. So that's going to be, there's a lot of work, but it's also directly affects, you know, we're all talking about bringing commercial and industry to Northfield. Is those are some of the factors that they look at too, is what's it going to cost to insure this thing we're going to build.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good for all of us. It's good for the colleges. It's good for all tax exempt property, and it's good for residential to a point.
Yeah.
So we'll talk more about that, but that's kicked off now. We have 6 months to get it together, so we're going to try to get one step. We're a four now. One is the best. Las Vegas, you know, all those cities are ones. We're going to try to get to a three.
Okay.
So we'll see.
There you go.
All right. That's great. And I look forward to Brad coming back on the show too.
No, he's a board member.
Yeah.
From city council,
and
he knows the insurance business
inside and out. That's for sure.
Yes.
All right. So 2 years ago, you started talking about getting a new pumper truck, and it felt like, you know, you said, yeah, we're going to get it in 2 years, and it felt like that just feels like an eternity.
Yeah.
And but now the new toy is going to arrive here anytime?
It showed up yesterday.
Really?
Yes.
Even though it's the same exact thing, right?
Yep.
Is it? It's fun to get a new toy, isn't
well, it?
Well,
it is, and remember that the one we got rid of was 10 years old.
Yeah.
So there are cooler things, and it's got that new fire truck smell. You know, we haven't been out to the landfill yet,
right,
or
right.
to some hog barn right. where you trap in all the stuff that was outside.
You just had to go out to the landfill, too, so you've got that out of the way for at least a couple of months.
Yeah, we checked that off. Yeah.
Is it just like the new car smell, or is it a little different?
It's a little different, but close, because it still has the vinyl, you know, some of that.
Maybe a little more of a rubber smell because of the hoses, perhaps?
Maybe that could be like a fundraiser thing. You guys could create air fresheners.
Oh,
new fire trucks.
The
smell.
Little tree. Could
yes,
you imagine?
Yes.
Oh,
man.
There you go.
But it'd have to have like a wisp of smoke. So it'd have to be like
there you go.
The 1 year old fire truck.
Like
there.
Yes. I love it.
It's like coming home after a fire and your spouse or partner's like, oh my gosh, you need to shower. We got back from this garage fire we're going to talk about. Marilyn said, take those clothes and put them on the porch. So, new toys are always fun.
Yeah.
And it's a morale boost. We're going to all meet on Saturday because we got to put all the equipment on it.
Oh, sure.
It's always fun to get new stuff.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Something you've talked about a lot since you assumed the role of fire inspector as the college residences and the inspections you're doing with the colleges and trying to cut down on the number of false alarms that the schools get. And you evidently want to talk about that again.
So, yeah, I just wanted to give a heads up and an update. We went through... I went through 4 residence halls at Carleton and 4 residence halls at St. Olaf, just like we do any apartment. Basically, they're multifamily dwellings, right?
Mm-hmm.
There.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot more code restrictions on the code specifically says, you know, apartment, dormitory must, you know, it's like you cannot have candles, you cannot have, you know, there's all these additional things about dormitories.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's more restrictive. But what I'm really happy to report, my analogy would be, let's say if we have an apartment building that does not have an on-site manager, we typically have more issues, whether
sure.
it's the City of Northfield building inspections doing a rental inspection or we're coming through. Yet the apartment buildings that have an on-site manager are much more, they stay ahead of everything.
Mm.
I'm really happy to report the stuff that St. Olaf and Carleton, both between their residence life, environmental health and safety, which is where Elizabeth Haza works,
mm-hmm.
facilities and everything, they do an amazing job making sure the students are safe. The things that obviously the systems that we look at, they have inspected and everything else, but then also making sure that the students. So I looked in every dorm room and and there were literally a handful of things that were issues.
Yeah.
Because they really do well in training and saying, no, you can't have electric heaters. You can't plug multiple plug strips together. So my main thing is it was for the most part unremarkable.
Well, that's good.
And we should all. And mm-hmm. the thing is, there is a track record. There's stories you can look back. Seton Hall. Of dormitory fires where there are a lot of fatalities.
Yeah.
So I left feeling really good that as a community, the college fire and everything else, we're doing a good job keeping the students safe.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, that's the highlight. It was basically unremarkable.
I look back in my days at St. Olaf when I lived on the 11th floor of Larson Hall, and we are so lucky we didn't... burn that place to the ground. I wouldn't be here because I was on the 11th floor. I wouldn't have made
well,
it out.
Well, yeah, they're, the capital investments that both colleges have made over the past few decades is huge. And my analogy to that is it's like when you need to put a new roof on or a new water heater. It's not sexy.
No.
But you have to do it.
Yeah.
It's not going to get more students, but those are the things that people now expect to see.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to have parity between buildings so that they're all safe. So.
Right.
Kudos to both colleges, and there's names of vice presidents and facilities people going back that have really brought them up to where they need to be.
Fantastic. You did have a garage fire the other day?
We did, and just the one thing about it, garage detached garage fires are a good training exercise because, A, nobody's living in them. Mm-hmm. Basically, when you get there, they're already gone for the most part. So it's a good training part where you can get, we have a bunch, six new people, that we were able to get them to have part of putting that out. Didn't really affect that many exposures, so that was good. And again, nobody was hurt. Sure, there's a lot of stuff. The one thing on this one that was just interesting and I wanted to note about is that there were solar panels on the roof.
Oh.
And there's a lot of places and residences that have solar panels. And they design it so that if there's something going on, we can turn them off. But when you get to the point where the roof is collapsing,
yeah,
what the state fire marshal told me is those panels are still producing power.
Okay.
If the sun's out.
Yeah.
So it's still a hazard.
Oh.
So you have to be very, you know, it's always the days back, oh, we always pull the meter, we turn off the gas so that we know that we're safe. If you're generating electricity there, and the wires that go between the panel and this whole switch thing are burnt, it's just going to sit there and create power.
Hmm.
So in this case, it didn't, and nor do I think necessarily we don't know what the cause was, but it's just one of those safety things that we have to say, hey, be careful, because those things are still producing power.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just wanted to touch on that.
That's actually, I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
So, all right. Okay, the question is, Tom, what do you do if you're in the left lane and an emergency vehicle is coming up behind you?
Yes, so what typically happens, so we're going down the left lane, like I said, the highway's divided, there's a median in the middle. Pull over to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And what a lot of people will do is they'll pull over on the median. They'll pull over on the left. Fire and police do not like passing on the right.
Okay.
Because then people see you go by and the nature is turn to the right, you know. Right. So we always want the left lane. The other thing is if we're using the opticons, which clear the intersection. So if you're pulling up to Highway 3 and we're behind you, the light's going to change. Keep an eye on the light, and if the light's green, go.
Get the hell out
clear
of the
clear the intersection. Yeah. Clear the intersection and pull over to the right. So, yeah, that's the main thing. And, yeah, I know we're at our time limit, and you got Tim coming up. But I just thought that, you know, everyone should get this song in their head so that they could think about it and say, you've got to be kidding. We built this city by Starship that the fire chief was thinking about while driving in today.
We're failing on this
No, it's a technical difficulty.
Well, it's... Oh, hang on.
Yeah, switch the source.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always a pleasure coming in, gentlemen.
Pleasure talking to you, Tom.
Always good.